I trust that you've been enjoying our series, Minor Prophets, Major Truths. My hope is that you have learned some new things through some of the books of the Bible that we are not often reading or preaching about. We have been taking one book a week and exposing a major truth and exposing you to the words of these minor prophets. Today we turn our attention to the prophet Zephaniah. Zephaniah was probably a person of considerable social standing in his day in Judah. He may have been related to the royal line. He is identified with the ruling class of Judah, and he is a fourth generation descendant of King Hezekiah of Judah. He was a contemporary of Jeremiah and Nahum. It seems that he had ministered during the early days of the reign of King Josiah. Now, King Josiah was the last of the righteous kings of Judah. Under King Josiah, there were spiritual reforms. It is thought by some that it could be Zephaniah's prophetic words of judgment that helped usher in the reforms that King Josiah put in place and delayed the coming judgment of God because of the sins of the people of Judah. One of the key phrases that Zephaniah uses is a well-known prophetic phrase, the day of the Lord. Now this phrase, the day of the Lord, is a term that refers to the judgment of God. It's a generic term for the judgment of God, and it could take place throughout generations. The thing about Zephaniah's prophetic word is he doesn't tell us about the when of the judgment. He just paints a picture of what is involved with the day of the Lord. In fact, Zephaniah is the prophet, you might be surprised, he is the prophet who uses the phrase the day of the Lord more than any other Old Testament prophet. So today, before I get into some of the major truths from the book of Zephaniah, I want to outline the prophetic word to you. I want to give you a summary of what Zephaniah said. And so we pick it up in the opening words almost, Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, and we read these words. I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away both man and beast. I will sweep away the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, and the idols that cause the wicked to stumble. When I destroy all mankind on the face of the earth, declares the Lord. So this is the opening words to the prophecy. It's a word to Judah about the coming judgment of God because of Judah's sin. And God is going to be carrying this out through the Babylonians. And the Babylonians will come in and take over Judah and cause them to be taken away into captivity. It's also a word that applies to us today. If we as mankind, we as humankind, do not repent of sin and turn from our wicked ways, that the Lord will bring judgment upon us and upon the world that we live in as well. God tells Judah that he is going to bring total destruction to the land and for its sins. That they had committed idolatry by worshiping the foreign gods like Baal and Molech and Chemosh. That they had become proud, arrogant people who had forgotten about Yahweh, their God, their one and only God. God said he would search the entire land and bring judgment where it was needed. That there would be nowhere to hide. That the sins of Judah would be exposed, that God would raise up the nation of Babylon, and Babylon would be his agent of judgment. God would also pronounce judgment on the nations of the world that surrounded Judah, all of their neighbors, north, south, east, and west, that the other nations would be judged for their wickedness as well, especially their wickedness when it related to God's people, Judah. So God is saying, Judah is still my people. Israel are still my people. I will judge them for their sins, but I will judge the nations for the way they mistreat my people. And part of it is, God said they were stumbling blocks to Israel. They led. These surrounding nations led them into immorality and idolatry. But God doesn't end judgment with just a negative note. God promises to restore his people. Once judgment is poured out, God would restore his people. He said, I will bring you back from captivity. So God's saying, you're sinful. I'm going to judge you. Babylon's going to carry you into captivity. But there's going to be a day that I will restore you and bring you back to your land. And we read in Zephaniah 3, verse 20, these words. At that time, I will gather you. At that time, I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. That's God's promise to bring them back. This is a summary of the message and the prophetic word, the day of the Lord, the judgment that's coming on Judah. But in all of that, Zephaniah highlights three lies that people believe. They're lies that Judah believed, and there are lies that we find people believing today. So today I want to look at these lies, but more than that, I want to compare them to the truth of God. And we find the first lie in Zephaniah 1, verse 12 that says this, at that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who are complacent, who are like wine left on its dregs, who think the Lord will do nothing either good or bad. So lie number one is this. The Lord will do nothing, either good or bad. Isn't that amazing that we live our lives and we think that God's not involved? We live our lives and do what we want and we think God's not going to interfere because God's not going to do anything about it. It doesn't matter what we do because God's not going to deal with it. See, this is complacency. And complacency looks harmless, but complacency is deadly. The vast majority of people disregard or ignore God. And Judah was getting to this place in their lives that they just did what they wanted. They did not heed what God had said. They didn't heed the law that God had given. They didn't heed what God had been teaching them all through the Moses and the prophets. Oh, God's, we do what we want because God's not, God doesn't care. That's a lie. The truth is this. God is concerned and involved in your life. See, God has your good in mind. God cares about you. That's why God has given us the Word. Because the Word teaches us about God's heart. The Word shines on our lives where we are deficient to God's righteousness and God's standards. The Word, the Bible, helps us to know God and to walk with God. And God is concerned about you. He has your best interests at heart. See, God wants you to live the way He intended so that you could enjoy life to the fullest, so that you could live in this world for God, and you can live in eternity with God. God wants you to live a life that is a righteous life, free from the pains and bondage and shackles of sin. The second lie we find in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 2. It says this, she obeys no one. She accepts no correction. She does not trust in the Lord. She does not draw near to God. So lie number two is this, all you need is self-confidence or self-sufficiency. God is not only going to judge Judah, but he's going to judge the other nations surrounding Judah. I told you a moment ago. He's going to judge them for their wickedness, for the way they live, for the way they've treated Judah. And chapter 2 of this prophetic book outlines the doom against the surrounding nations of Judah. And I just want to point them out to you because it's interesting to see that these nations are actually all around west and east and north and south. And God starts by listing off the nation called Philistia. It's the area that is west of Judah. It's where the Philistines come from. And the friction between Israel and the Philistines dates back to the time of Moses. That's how patient God is with judgment, by the way. See, he didn't judge them in the time of Moses. He waits all the way to the time of the Babylonians. You might recognize the Philistines because David faced Goliath, and Goliath was a Philistine. So for all that they have done to Israel over time, all the time it felt like the Philistines were getting away with anything they wanted, God says, I see their sin and their evil, and I'm going to eventually judge them, and I will bring them to destruction. Then God speaks against Moab and Ammon. These are the nations to the east of Judah. Actually, these nations are relatives of Israel. They are descendants of Abraham's nephew Lot. If you don't remember Abraham, Israel comes from the line of Abraham, and he had a nephew named Lot, and the nations of Moab and Ammon are descendants of Lot's line. And they have always been hostile towards Israel. There's a hostility that almost goes back to Abraham and Lot's days. And they have seemed to have been happy. They were overjoyed to see Israel and Judah fall. And God says, because you're happy that destruction came to your neighbors, to your relatives, I am going to bring judgment on you. There's kind of a warning there for us, isn't there? That we should never take joy in somebody else's fall. We should never be glad because somebody else faced a defeat that we escaped. God says, that is not the way I've taught my people to live. Then we move to the nation of Cush, the nation south of Judah. God used Babylon to bring down the Cushites. Then God turns his attention to Assyria. Now, you might recognize that name. It's the nation that is north of Judah. Actually, it's north of Israel, the northern kingdom. And God says, I'm going to judge them for their idolatry, for their violence, for their sorceries, and for their arrogance. See, Babylon, together with the other nations, totally destroyed Nineveh. We talked about Nineveh and some of the prophetic words in the earlier books of this series, the earlier weeks. And so God is saying, now Nineveh is going to be destroyed, which would lead to the fall of Assyria. And Assyria is also judged because they are the nation that went in and captivated or captured Israel, the northern kingdom. Assyria is judged harshly because of what they did to the northern kingdom. These nations, all of them, put together were self-confident. They never feared Israel, and especially they never feared Jehovah God. And God brought judgment on each of these nations and brought destruction. So the lie is, you know, it doesn't matter. The truth is, we have to have the fear of the Lord. To fear God does not mean you're afraid of him. That's not this type of fear. To fear God means you have to have a reverent respect and an awe of God, a wonderful awe that goes, God, you are so magnificent and worthy. And the fear of the Lord leads our hearts to submission to God out of love and devotion, not a submission to God out of being afraid, but a submission to God that says, God, you are so awesome. You are so wonderful. You are so mighty. You are so righteous. You have done everything for me. You have given me salvation. Jesus died for my sins. And in response to what you have done for me, I respond by loving you and serving you. That is what it means to fear the Lord. And the truth is, we must fear the Lord. Zephaniah 2:3 tells us this: seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, you who do what he commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you'll be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger. See, God is looking for those who are meek and humble, those who are willing to seek God, trust God, live for God. This is the attitude that God is looking for. So I encourage you today to walk in the fear of the Lord that teaches us to trust Him and abide by His word. We look for a third lie. We find it in Zephaniah chapter 3, 7 and 8. It says this, "But they were still eager to act corruptly in all they did. Therefore, wait for me, declares the Lord. For the day I will stand up to testify, I have decided to assemble the nations, to gather the kingdoms, and to pour out my wrath on them, all my fierce anger. The whole world will be consumed by the fire of my jealous anger." The lie that we sometimes believe is this: the future is ours to control. I mean, when you really think about it, how could we think that? The future is ours to control. As the prophet speaks against the city of Jerusalem, he paints a picture in chapter 3 of Zephaniah of an unrepentant Jerusalem. The people of Zephaniah's time were complacent and proud. They believed in themselves more than they believed in God. They had such a high view of their lives and all that they felt that they had accomplished on their own that they got to a point where they forgot and ignored God. They thought that they held the power of life in their own hands. It's a lie. We do not control the future. The truth is, our future is in God's hands. The future is ordained by God. God is the one who has everything under His control. When God speaks, the worlds are formed. When God decides, His will is done. And God has ordained that the world will come to acknowledge Him and worship Him. The problem is we do not see the end right now. We think that it's all good, that we just go on, we live our lives, we do what we want, we control everything. And the reality is we control very little. We do. Stop to think about it. We don't control the next hour. We don't control the next moment. God does. Proverbs 3, 5 to 8 says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord." There it is again. "Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." How many times have we done the opposite of these verses? We think that with all that we've done, with all that we've accomplished, all the plans that we've made, we lose sight of the fact that our future is in God's hands. We should never lose sight of the fact that God alone is in control of the future. The prophetic word of Zephaniah to Judah also has a ringing warning for us, that God will not allow sin to go unpunished forever. There is coming a time when this entire world will face judgment for sin. The world will one day have to go through the judgment of God. One day, God will wrap up the history of the world. Just like God started it, God is going to change it and end it. It's His world. It's His word. It's His power. It's His authority. And God is going to usher all that in with the return of Jesus. The world will not end by accident. Mankind is not going to do it on his own. It will end as God said it will end and when God said it will end. There's these words in the New Testament in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31. Says, "In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent. For He has set a day when He will judge the world with justice by the man He has appointed." That man, of course, is Jesus. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. The question I have for you today is, when that day of the Lord comes, when the time for this world to be judged, when that happens, will you be ready to face God? See, God will judge all of mankind, each one of us one at a time. We will be judged not for what we have done as much as whom we have believed. We will be judged whether or not we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, or whether we rejected Jesus as our Savior. Did we embrace the love of God for us, or did we reject the love of God? Did we heed the Word of God, or did we ignore the Word of God? When that day happens, will you be ready? If you won't be ready, I want you to know right now you can be. You can be ready right now. You simply have to accept who Jesus is, the Son of God, that He came and died for your sins, and believe that Jesus died for you, and receive that forgiveness of sin that God has for you through Jesus, and then commit to living by His Word and walking in His righteousness, devoting yourself, having that fear of the Lord that we talked about a few minutes ago, and walking in that. If you want to have this kind of relationship with God through Jesus Christ, all you have to simply do is say, "Jesus, I accept you in my life. Forgive me of my sin." And if you do that right now, you begin a relationship with God, and you can walk with Jesus. And you don't have to do it alone. In fact, you know, the Bible never says do it on your own. It says do it in community with other people. And Highway is a great community for you to do that, whether online or in person. We want to help you walk in that relationship with God. And simply pick up your phone and text us. Text the word love to 416-267-1189 and follow those prompts, please. And we will be in touch with you. We want to journey with you through your journey with God. We want to walk with you, alongside you. We want to be here to encourage you and to help you. So if today you say, "Pastor, I want to know Jesus and I want to know God. I want to be ready when that day of the Lord, that judgment day comes on this world. I want to stand before God and know that He loves me and I'm safe in His love." Go ahead and reach out to us and text us that word love. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today for the words of this prophet. Lord, we thank you today that even though you tell us that judgment is coming, you provide a way around it, a way through it. That you provide a way that we could have eternal life with you. We don't have to face eternal judgment. We can face eternal life. So Lord, help us. Help us all to walk in the fear of the Lord. Help us all to be devoted to you. Help us all to pay attention to what you said in your word. Help us to be men and women of God. And we'll give you all the honor and glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.